of getting together is that we're in an atmosphere. I'm going to use the word atmosphere of truth. When I'm at home, when I listen to watch TV or listen to the news, just get out and to the stores, go here, go there. There is this constant battle where we are being flooded so much with lies. Lies that deal with what's going on in the world. But I think more importantly, that is important, but more importantly, it's what's going on inside your head. What you think and how you think. And this is really, you know, when you said, Sylvia, I chose not to think that way. You know, there was a battle that was going on. You were waging that war in your mind, and you made the right choice. You know, and I think this is something I want to look at here with all of us. When the Lord was talking about His coming, He said that, I'm not going to have us turn there, but in Matthew 24, in numerous places through Matthew 24, He says, be careful, don't be deceived. And there's going to be all this deception, there's all kinds of, there's a flood of lies. There's a flood of lies that come. We're going to see this in a natural realm in terms of governments, and the lies that come from the government to their people, from each of the governments of this world to the people, because you know that we're heading toward a one world system. You guys know that just from reading the truth, right? You know there's a one world system that God knows is going to come about. This is not God's plan, but God knows ahead of time what is going to happen. We shouldn't be praying for a one-world system, should we? Because that isn't what God's plan would be for us as individuals. But He sees the course of history, and He lets us know ahead of time what's coming up so that we may pray and not be part of this world. Right? You get that?
Yes.
Because we know evil is going to abound, we don't give in to evil. We're supposed to fight evil in any way that we can. Am I catching this? And you know where all of this is going to start? It's going to start here in your own head, isn't it? This is really, really important. Because let me read to you something from the book of Isaiah. I've read this scripture before to you. It says this. This is Isaiah 59, starting in verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. I don't know about you, but you know, you can deceive yourself.
Yes.
About yourself.
Yes.
About your condition. And you can get really entrenched. Because isn't it always the other person's fault?
Always.
And then it goes on and says this. Judgment is turned backwards. Justice stands afar off. for truth is fallen in the street. And iniquity cannot enter in. And truth has fallen in the street. What do you do when you're in the street? What's happening? What's happening with people in the street? What are you doing?
Walking.
Okay, back in those days, walking. One of the translations is, truth is trampled in the street. Yeah, truth is being trampled down. What used to be thought of as good is thought of as evil. What used to be thought of as evil is thought of as good. Just think of it. Is this describing America? Just think about all the different things. Do I need to go into any details on that? Yay, truth fails. This is what it's going to, this is what this world is coming to. And it sure has come to our country. There's a lack of truth. And if we're ever going to fight this, we've got to start with ourselves, because we allow a lot of wrong thinking up in our heads. Don't we? Alright. We're going to start here. In the New Testament, in the Gospel of John. So I want you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 31. It's really good when we sing the words to songs, and those words are truthful words. We don't put a bunch of lies up here on the screen. Have you noticed that about the songs that we sing? You don't find lies in those songs. And this is what's good about when we get together, is because we're in that atmosphere of the truth. That really kind of gets our minds right, doesn't it? It says here in verse 31, John 8, and then Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Right? These are people that believe. You see, they're believers. And if they continue in this word, continue to seek the truth of God's word, right? Then they're going to be disciples. And it says here, and when you get to that position in your heart, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, will make you free. Well, this is one of my favorite verses. Truth. The seeking of truth. Yeah?
Yes.
And I wrote down here. One of the best things is being able to recognize what's true and what's a lie. And boy, there's in the world today, you talk about any kind of thing, yeah, even if it's not something spiritual. Global warming. We get into some discussions with people in the family who they believe in global warming, and we don't. You know, and we go back and forth on that, and you have all this evidence, and they have their evidence, so what is the truth? You know, how do you recognize what truth is? And this is something that came up in some of the songs that we sang as well. I think I will. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 17. John 14, 17. Because if you and I aren't getting into the presence of God, taking time out of our day to really take time to get into the Lord's presence and know the Holy Spirit. Because the only way you and I are going to know truth about anything is to hear it from the Spirit of Christ. Because what you find here is that Jesus calls the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth in this verse. He is the Spirit of truth. The only way that we're going to know anything is to have to know true things, is to hear it spoken either in the written word or as you're praying and getting that sense from God, what is true and what isn't. You know? Does God speak things to you about yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. You know how usually it happens? I usually mess up with somebody else. And sometimes either they bring it up to me and I recognize the Spirit of Christ, or I go home after something's happened and my wife tells me. That happens too. But the Lord will say something. You know, you weren't too gentle there. No. You weren't this or you weren't that. You get convicted. But you know, you can have an attitude of heart where you don't want to know the truth. And you won't hear the truth. You know that.
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes it takes time to get the truth too. I mean, you can't.
Yeah. It doesn't like bam. Yeah, it doesn't like you're going to hear bam like that sometimes.
Because that's you're so distracted by stuff. You're in the moment of thinking how you're thinking.
Yes.
So if you don't like with that lady, if I don't put the pause button, maybe I say something that's wrong. You know?
Yeah.
But to think about it after and reflect on it, it takes time. So. Yeah. And that's the part that we hate to do. You know, we're so spontaneous. We want to just attack.
Yeah.
And we think we're right, so we want to attack.
Yeah.
And even if we are right, it's not always meant to attack.
Amen. Think about that. Yeah. Dan, what? No, you want to say something?
Oh, not right now.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't think it's right now. Maybe it is. You want me to interrupt your message?
Or? Yeah, go ahead.
Can we change a verse?
Sure.
Okay. Got it down pat here. Good.
I know it's Galatians. It's Galatians 11. Well, actually, wait. Galatians 2, verse 11.
Yeah.
Chapter 2, verse 11. And it goes all the way down to 17. Now, if we can read this together, because I unfortunately can't read all of this, but I get the most of it. All right? Let's see. Mine is when Jesus came to
Antioch,
I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong before. What's that up there?
That's right.
Certain men
came from James.
Paul opposes Peter. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that you were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified.
What I want to add to that is, that doesn't say that we don't have to obey the law. It says that we're not justified by the law.
Yeah.
And I believe that any born-again believer, you automatically know that because you know how you get saved. You're not justified. But if you go back into Matthew, okay, and this is all about the truth, you know, to grab a hold of the truth on how, as a believer, we should be living. Matthew 22:37. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the synagogue, the Pharisees got together.
What? No. Not the wrong.
I got the wrong
message. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to read down to 37. Okay.
Oh.
Where are you starting?
34.
Sorry about that. Got together. One of them, expert in the law, tested him with this question: Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. And I've talked to people, and they don't believe that we need to, in a sense, live by the law, live under commandments. But to me, it's clear as can be that we do.
Yeah, I think that if we're developing that relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? If you're developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit, you are going to fulfill God's law, aren't you?
Yes.
So we are going to do that. And it's going to come by us seeking the Spirit of truth. Yes?
Yes.
And having a heart that's there. Now, the opposite of this truth thing is the enemy, who is a liar, and he's been a liar from the beginning. And I wonder how many times in our life, in a day for us, that the enemy speaks to your mind and speaks lies to you about what's going to happen in your life. Bad things happen to all of us, and the Lord or the people that we love, and the Lord knows how to bring us up out of those dark thoughts. But lots of times, the enemy, and this is what this whole that whole fight thing is about, the enemy is there to tell us that we're unworthy, that we don't have anything to give in Christ. He speaks to us about how it's hopeless, My life is hopeless. I can't see my way out of this. Do those thoughts come, you know, in particular areas of your life?
Can I just add to that?
Sure.
It's society. You know, the enemy will tell you, look at society. They all believe this. It's okay for you to believe this.
Yeah.
I mean, the enemy is very good. He knows that you feel peer pressure. He knows you feel fear of rejection. So what he does is he kind of lies about that stuff, and he tells you, all your buddies think this way, so you need to think that way. You know, it's
exactly.
Craziness.
He has his ways of getting to you. He knows all your weaknesses, and he lies to you. And this is so important. If we're going to be in a period of time where where lies are going to flood in more, yeah? Where Jesus tells us, be careful, you don't get deceived. And this is coming in a greater and greater way. I really feel like it's important that God is saying to us, don't just let things keep going in your mind the way they have been. Because you and I accept a bunch of lies about ourselves, about our spouse, about situations, about the world, about our job, about this or about that, that we need to get our heads right, because any one of those things could take us out at some point. Could take us down a wrong road. They could. They won't if we're in Christ. But you have to be in Christ.
And not take a day off.
Right. You can't take a day off from the Lord. You know, this whole thing about the Holy Spirit, when you become a believer, is in you. And we have the opportunity to be in Him. You know that?
Right.
You're not in Him unless you're in Him. You're not in His presence unless you're in His presence. Is that right?
Yes.
If you're off doing your own thing, allowing your own mind to control the attitudes of your heart and the direction of your life, and you're not giving that to God, you're not coming into His presence and having a relationship with the Holy Spirit to actually lead you in the right direction, you're not going in the right direction. We had a good discussion, Bible study, about this whole thing about, you know, God is there and God is working. He's going to take whatever happens, all of our, you know, wrong decisions and all of that, and he will turn them to good. But we've got to hear and do. We're not automatons where he just moves us around. You get this? It's important for us to get in Christ so that we're able to hear what the Spirit's speaking and then be obedient to it. Am I?
Yes.
You're hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is, I don't know. The Lord made this so clear to me, and I don't feel like I'm getting this across the way, across the line. But
it's coming through, Mel.
But yes. This whole thing, I feel like some of it is a kind of almost prophetic, the way it came to me about what's coming on this world. The deception is going to get worse and worse and worse. People are believing really stupid things that don't make any sense whatsoever. You know? Don't make any sense whatsoever. John was talking about these different ideas that the kids are exposed to, you know, that are out there in the world. I don't know if anybody that was there can remember some of the specifics, but it's like there's this one thing called transambulism.
Oh, you have. I might remember a little bit. You mean like the worldview stuff?
Yeah, some of those worldviews.
Transambulism.
Transambulism. This arm is here, but I don't feel like this is my arm. And they go and get their arm amputated. This whole thing with gender, you know? There was a woman on TV yesterday who was having this discussion about gender, and that she's gender neutral. That's the term.
Yeah.
She teaches her children to be gender neutral. I don't know how you can do that, but the kid sees stuff, you know, about boys, about girls. Mommy, am I a boy or am I a girl? And her response is, what do you feel like right now? Do you feel like a boy or do you feel like a girl? Well, I feel like a boy. Okay, then you're a boy. Today. Tomorrow, you might not feel that way. And you can be whatever you think you are, not whatever you are biological. You know, it used to be male, female was biological. Now it's a feeling that can change.
Tell that in your genes.
Yeah, you know, it's this kind of thing that it makes no sense whatsoever, and yet these thoughts are capturing people and putting them into perverse bondage.
Yes.
You know, these thoughts are getting more perverse. It's getting more twisted around.
You know, how strong the spiritual.
Yes, and it's getting stronger. And if we don't have our minds exercised into righteousness and exercised in the right way, there'll be some stray thought, some perverse thing, some thing that would lead you down a dark road. If you're not careful about it, it's so good that we have this right here to have words spoken and have the songs that we sing, and we have each other with encouragement to keep us on the straight and narrow.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
I thank God for truth.
Yes.
That there is absolute truth.
Yes.
That it isn't kind of up and down and, you know. Oh. Steve, you had your hand up.
That scripture that you read from Isaiah 59, the last part, it said, yes, truth is gone. And anyone who renounces evil is attacked. And that's what happens. Boy, if you come against anything that's perverted or perverse, you are intolerant, you're this, you're that.
Yes.
Like, so you, after a while, you kind of like shade away from that. I mean, in school, I used to fight that stuff all the time. And finally, I got sick of it. I just said, whatever.
Yeah, you feel you get overwhelmed.
That's what the enemy wants. They defeat it. That's exactly what ends up happening. Is you end up being defeated because of that. And if you can, the biggest challenge that we have is not to get defeated.
Yeah.
Because the enemy wants to shut us up.
Yeah.
And so what happens is we need to know if in our soul, when you feel like God is saying, this is the way you need to go. This is what you need to say. And in your soul, you know it's right. No matter what anybody says, it's okay.
You've got to go that way.
You've got to go that way.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I don't know. To me, it's like you talk to Christians and someone like, well, I don't know. You know, like you're saying, Malcolm, if you're connected with the Spirit, and it goes with what Dan was saying, you're going to follow the law because you're connected with the Spirit. You don't have to. You don't have to mentally go to the Bible and say, "Okay, thou shalt not kill."
Right.
You know, because the Spirit is in you saying that's right and that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's very. It becomes clear the more you connect with the Spirit, the more you're following that. The more you're listening to Christian music, the more you're listening to people, the more you know Christian people. It just becomes more easy.
Yeah.
But we can't be defeated.
We have to remember the battle is God.
The battle is the Lord's, and we enter into that. We're in the battle.
Oh, yeah.
And if we don't connect with Jesus, we're going to lose.
Right.
Aren't we?
Yeah.
And how are we going to connect? We have to come into His presence. We've got to know the Word better than we know it. We need to rely on Him. And when we fall, to know the truth of His Word, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's important for us, isn't it? Because we all fall.
Right.
We better know the truth. Otherwise, the enemy will sit there and condemn us when we do fall. Right?
I was thinking that one of the world views is there are no absolutes.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I mean, 50 years ago there were absolutes, and now there are no absolutes because it's gotten watered down. People are, to be, what's the word?
Tolerant.
Huh?
Tolerant.
Tolerant, yeah. You've got to be tolerant. And it's just become a total mess.
Yeah.
People don't even know what the truth is anymore.
Hopefully, the church does.
That's the truth, you see.
Hopefully, we are.
That's the truth.
Yes. We're supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. The church. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You keep your mouth shut, nobody's hearing it. Because they're not going to hear it from the world. Are they? Whitney, you want to say something?
Well, it's so funny this week. She actually was able to take a nap. So I'm like, oh, good, I have some time with God. So I was praying for probably over an hour. And your exact message is what God was telling me. And out of all the verses in the Bible, the same two verses, or the same verses that Dan said, that was exactly pointed out to me.
Yes.
Like, such a good confirmation about what God wants us to hear.
Yes. It's important to hear the truth and read the truth and do the truth, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I mean, people have said to me, "Well, what's so bad about lying?" And I want to ask you that question: what is so bad about lying? What's so great about the truth? Because there are people whose minds are out there caught in that thing that has no end to it. You know, their minds have bought in to a lie. No, what's so bad about lying?
Satan.
Well, number one, it's from the enemy. And if it's from Satan, who is the author of lies, right? And we know that lies come from him. And he is out to do what to you? Build you up and give you everything that you
need.
No, he's out to devour, to kill, rob and kill and destroy. And here it is, buying in to a being and a spiritual forces that want to maim and kill and destroy you. And we sit there and we are casual about lies. You see the importance of this? It's important to know what truth is, because truth gives you something to stand on, doesn't it? And that's from God.
That's factual.
Yes, Steve?
I had an interview as a final exam one time in college, and this professor tried to get me to say stuff that I didn't believe.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't do it. And in the end, I figured, I must have flunked the exam. I got a 98 on it.
Yeah.
So after that, I mean, she graded me as she's doing the interview. And so I asked her, I said, I didn't really tell you what you wanted to hear. She said, no, you don't tell them what you want to hear. What they want to hear, you tell them the truth.
Yeah.
And the thing about lying is, if you lie, it's very easy to forget what you said. But when you tell the truth, it's more easy to remember because it's the truth.
It's the truth.
Let's see, did I say that or did I say that? Well, you're lying. So you can get yourself in trouble. So I learned a lesson that day.
Yeah. Somebody, Jack, go ahead.
After me, Rachel had her hand up for about an
hour. Oh, I'm sorry, Rachel. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say we bought into so many lies. The whole thing with the Planned Parenthood started with we should plant our family.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with birth control. It's okay to give little white eyes. That doesn't matter. There are so many lies that are inbred in us.
Yeah.
We've been growing up as a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the more we come into the Lord's presence, the more those things get exposed. Light exposes darkness. It says something about us to the degree that we're holding on to all these lies. We haven't exposed it to the light yet, you know? And we ask God to open this up to us, so that we can walk in the light as He is in the light. Yes. Joe, go ahead.
There was a girl in school this week who had taken a test, I guess, or wrote something, and they asked if God, and she said she wrote the word God is real, and they suspended her from school.
Yeah.
Because she did not go along with what the school wanted her to write. And I mean, some people are waking up and they're realizing what is going on. My fear is it's going to be too late.
For society, yes. Maybe in general. This is what's good. For those who take a hold of truth, you got it. You know, and you're not going to lose it unless you allow other lies to come into your mind. But this is so important. And the points I want to get to is that, and this kind of goes along with a number of things that are said, and that I'm going to get to. You know, we have to, as Jesus says, continue in the truth. Yeah? We have to continue in the Word, and we need to be able to speak that. Because people in the world are not getting truth. If they don't have a Bible at home, they're not getting truth. They need you, don't they? Or me. Nitsa, go ahead.
I think that a lot of people do know the truth, but how do you say it and not be accused of a hate crime or you're this or that you're that? Because a lot of people that have said something end up with them. They criticize us, and they say a lot of things about Christians, and no one does anything.
Right.
But as soon as we open our mouth and say something, we're attacked and bombarded. That I think that even the ones who do know the truth don't speak out of fear.
Yeah, we don't speak out of fear. That's exactly right. It goes back to what Steve said there when he finished reading that that last verse that I started in Isaiah 59. The people that do hold on to truth get attacked.
Yeah.
We are going to have to be, and this takes courage from God, we're not going to get it any other way except from God, is we've got to come to the place where we say in our hearts, well, if this is what it means, if I have to sacrifice here to let the truth be known, then we have to have that in our hearts to do it. Mm-hmm. I got one other point I want to get to. And that is, how do we say the truth? Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you can get church groups that go out and they're pointing their fingers and they're accusing and they're saying things in a very hateful way.
That's right.
And we're not supposed to speak the truth in hate.
That's right.
We're not supposed. Yeah, you know, people want to take truth, and because truth hurts sometimes, they want to ascribe hate to you, and that's what you're talking about, Nisa. They want to ascribe something that isn't, the truth is the truth. And sometimes, you know, you have to say truth to people. You have to speak truth, right? To authority sometimes. But it's, you as an individual have to know that you've said it in love. And that's the other part of this. That's important. People can, you know, you can point to things that you don't like about other churches, even. Yeah. It isn't just out in the world. It could be about how you feel about some other church. And because maybe you were hurt by that church, and you've withdrawn from that church, and you're going to somewhere else now, you're going here or someplace else, and you speak in a bad way, even though it might be true, you're not helping things. You're not moving in the spirit of Christ. So let's look at that, because I want to make sure that we understand this, that when truth is being spoken, it's being spoken with love, which means that you hold no animosity toward the person. You hold no animosity toward what you're speaking about. You are speaking what is true. For the sole reason to lift somebody up out of where they are. Period. Let's look at this.
And not to put them down. We do that too. We put people down.
Yeah.
Speaking of truth, because that makes us feel better about ourselves. We rise up because we're putting somebody else down. We got to be very, very careful about doing that.
Yes, we do. All right. I want you to go to. Let me see. Where do I want to go first? Let's do Ephesians instead of Corinthians. Ephesians chapter 4. And it's verse 15. Okay. It's kind of an interesting thing that... Julie, can you get the end of 14 up there? Or do you have to do 14 first?
Yeah.
All right. Notice what's the last word in 14?
Deceive.
What's deceive mean?
Trick.
Mislead. Trick. Mislead. What word comes to mind when you're deceiving? Lying. Right? Okay, all right. Now go to 15. And then it says this. But the way that we battle deception, but speak the truth in love. And when that happens, we're going to grow up as children of God. Not just babies. Not just in some fairy tale world where we're not confronting evil. The church is supposed to confront evil. We confront evil by speaking the truth, by being the pillar and ground of truth. But this right here is saying, yeah, but you better be careful how you're speaking the truth. Isn't that right? And so we need time with God to say, instead of taking some time to read a novel, maybe we could take a little bit of that time to get before God and ask God questions about how we can be who we're supposed to be as the church, as an individual that is reaching out in love to somebody to bring them out of a place. You think that's more important than finding out? I haven't read a novel in a while, so how the end of Atlas Shrugged turns out, Uh-oh, it's a little too silent there. We got a lot of readers. We have a lot of readers here.
Never heard of that book. Yeah. Not about books. That's the one you love.
Well, that's the one that I like the most.
Yeah, okay.
You even made a book out of that movie?
So, if you haven't read Atlas
Shrugged,
who is John Galt? It's only this thick. It's 1,008 pages or something. That's probably why a lot of people haven't read it.
That's right.
But that's fantastic for the political
situation
is fantastic. Okay. All right. So I want to go to somebody. Have a hand up, Walter.
Malcolm, what this is all about today is really giving more understanding, because in our heads we're thinking about Jesus hanging on that cross, having gone through everything he went through for us.
Yes.
But showing when he said to that thief berating him, or the people, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. As a human being, We can't hardly comprehend that. How could he possibly forgive them or ask his Father to forgive them? That is the ultimate example that was given to us when we're presented with people that we really don't want to forgive because of their injurious conduct. This is awesome. This is just awesome because we cannot, as humans, like Reggie said, put ourselves down. We want to slay them. We want to bring justice because of our sense of rightness. And Jesus, and through all that, was willing to say what he said. Could we do that? No.
There was a pastor in Indiana whose wife was murdered by three thugs, brutally murdered. And he said that he forgives them. And I heard that, you know, and I know as a pastor, as a Christian, I should be able to be like him and say, yeah, I would forgive somebody if they brutally murdered Kathy. I don't think I could. Not right now. That's how I feel about myself. I would have to reach into God way more than what I've done in the past. Because I hear that and I think, I don't know if I could do that. You know? I know that I should be able to do that as a Christian. But I don't know if I could. You know? Who knows? I don't want to be tested in it either.
He said he forgave them, but he still had the anger. You know, so things can happen. You can forgive, but then you have to deal with the hurt and everything else that you've been through because of what has happened.
And God has righteous judgment.
Right.
Now, God isn't just going to say, I forgive you guys. There is a hell. Everybody knows that truth. There is hell. There is the lake of fire. There is a place that the unredeemed are going to. And it's not a pleasant thing. I mean, I would hope that nobody would go there. But there are going to be people that are going there. All right, this is what it says. 1 Corinthians 13, it's the chapter on love. It's verse 6, and it says, do not rejoice in iniquity. And that word rejoice, okay, deals with, well, everybody knows what it comes from joy, right? To rejoice. And 13:6. So, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Now, I brought this out before, a year or two ago. That word rejoice has a connotation of meaning being married to be in joy, to be so wrapped up in. Okay? So let's look at it this way. Do not be married to iniquity. Yeah? Don't be so intimate with iniquity, but be intimate, be married to the truth. And you see, love, this is talking about what love is. Love isn't married to iniquity. People in these days want to show love, and they accept everything. They accept iniquity without calling it what it is. You get this?
Yes.
That's not showing love to somebody. That doesn't mean you're coming down their throat. That doesn't mean that after you've spoken truth about what the Lord says about something, that you still aren't going to love them and be with them and you know. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes people think you have to go off in some other kind of weird direction where you can't still reach out to people that aren't doing things the right way. Right? You understand that? You've got to know the person. You've got to know. Sometimes it says, in Jude it says that sometimes you have to use fear to bring somebody, and for others you have to pull them out of the fire. You know, there's different ways that you handle situations. Yep, somebody had a hand.
Diane.
Agape love is really truth.
Agape love. That's right, and that's that second part. Love is married to the truth. It's married to it.
Because without agape love, you're not going to be able to do any of these things we just brought up.
No.
There's no way.
Yeah, and this is only going to happen because we have this this ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, important, isn't it? Nitsa?
Well, I think that's where that relationship with God and everything works. Like you were saying, you don't know at this point if you would forgive. But when you have that relationship with God, you are able to forgive because of his love and his power, not our own weakness.
Right. If I can tap into that, I'll be fine. It's me surrendering to that.
Right?
And I'm not... I'm just being honest. I would hope I could enter in there, but it seems pretty hard for me.
I say that because when Will was shot, I would always say, if someone hurts my kids, that's it, that's the end of it.
Yeah.
And I was able to forgive the person. Will was shot three times. I mean, and this is my baby, and he did nothing wrong. They just confused him with someone else.
Oh, yeah.
And good thing is, he's never been in a bar again.
God will turn things to good.
But I was able to forgive it, and I don't think that power or that forgiveness came from me.
It comes from God. Yeah, I know. I'm not going to have it. I know that. It's not going to come. It's not going to come from me. Dan, did you want to say something?
I was just saying, Paul. I mean, I really think he was a good demonstration when he had that against Peter. He went right to Peter. He talked to him face to face.
That's right.
Talked in front of everybody. He didn't say things behind his back.
That's right.
Demonstration of love right there.
Yeah, he spoke the truth and he spoke it in love. And it didn't. If you read that account, it doesn't sound like,
Peter, if you could just be a little nicer.
No, he said, you're doing the wrong thing. Right? Right?
Yeah.
So, you speak the truth, but you're doing it for the betterment of the church and the betterment of that person. That's the place that we have to be at when we do have to say things that are the truth that is going to hurt. Amen? Hallelujah. Somebody else have... don't want to stop. Oh, Rachel, did you have something?
I was going to say, if you remember what God forgave you for...
then you should be able to do that. Yeah. It is surrendering to that, isn't it, though? Well, Lord, we thank you today, Lord, only by your Spirit, only by having a greater time in your presence and with your Spirit, Lord, and surrendering to your Spirit, can we do any of these things. And Lord, help us to be able to recognize the truth from a lie. What goes on inside our minds, the way the enemy takes our thoughts and brings us down wrong roads of thinking. Lord, habits of thought, Lord, that are not yours. God, we ask that you deliver us from those things, that you help us in those areas. Lord, we want to be a pillar and ground of the truth, as the scripture says that we're to be. And Lord, help us to be able to recognize the lie that would hurt us and hurt others, Lord, and that we would be people that could speak the truth in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.